13-year-old Michaela McRoberts was out hiking on a Sunday and got turned around on her way home from a nearby lake.
So I thought I was walking the right way at first, but then things started looking less and less familiar, and pretty soon I was completely lost, no idea where I was. So I kept walking in the way I thought port protection was. Turns out it was the opposite way.
That evening, Michaela's aunt, Terry Metcalf, got worried. She was at her home in Port Protection, a remote fishing village of about 50 people on northwest Prince of Wales Island. Michaela hadn't shown up home for dinner as planned. Friends and family soon started looking for her, and after a couple of hours, Metcalf called authorities.
The first call I made was to the Coast Guard. They're our saviors. And so once we got them going, the guy stayed on line with me, and we tried calling all kinds of different trooper agencies, because by then it was past 8 o'clock.
Trained search and rescue crews from larger communities would gear up and fly in via Coast Guard helicopter in the morning. Michaela walked for a long time that first night, making her way through the woods and trying to avoid the thick brush. At one point, she followed a creek in the hopes that it would lead her to the beach. It grew wider, more like a river.
So I'm just walking, started walking towards the riverbank, took a step. All of a sudden, I plunged like up to my belly button in cold water, and I just shot out of the river after that. It was so cold. And by then, it was already getting pretty dark, so it hurt to walk in my blue jeans, so I just took that off. And my shirt was kind of wet, too, so I took that off. And I just had my jacket, my boots, and my underclothes.
Her jacket, which had fleece in it, still provided her with a little bit of warmth. No one got any sleep that night back in Port Protection. Terry Metcalf says Michaela's father, Jim McRoberts, and other local searchers were out the door again by 5 a.m. Metcalf worked the phone, helping to coordinate with the Coast Guard troopers and incoming search and rescue crews. Eventually, she says every able-bodied person in the community, as well as residents from nearby Point Baker, were out searching the surrounding forest.
I heard at one time in just the few minutes that I got a chance to go stand outside, 20 or 30 people out there calling her name.
Snow still blocked the nearby road system, and bad weather delayed incoming flights, so Metcalf was tremendously relieved when she flagged in the first Coast Guard helicopter to land on the beach.
Standing out there, seeing the helicopter come in was one of the most ecstatic moments of the initial beginning search, because all of a sudden it was like, oh, yay, they're here. The angels have arrived. And so they unloaded their people, and it was just a consistent, as fast as they could unload people, get more people, get fueled up.
State troopers reported that 41 people and four search dog teams joined in the ground effort, including volunteers from the Ketchikan and Klawak volunteer rescue squads, as well as Sitka Mountain Rescue. They divided up into smaller teams, combining trained searchers and dogs with local residents who knew the surrounding terrain. A National Guard helicopter out of Juneau also took part. Still lost in the woods, Michaela says she slept a lot, despite the wet, cold, windy weather and her lack of shelter and warm clothes.
First day, I just kept walking, but the second day I was pretty tired all the time. Like, even just to walk a mile, like, I was so cold and wet, I've had no energy. So I'm like, okay, I've walked a mile. This moss looks soft. I think I'll sleep on that for a little bit. Got in the fetal position, took off my jacket and threw it over me. That way, because it was kind of raining a little bit and I didn't want water touching me anymore, I was pretty mad at water.
It took a lot of effort to keep moving whenever she woke up.
My legs were so stiff, it was really hard to walk. I'm just like, every once in a while, I'll just like stop, even if it was only a couple steps, and just like have to work my legs again because they just didn't want to work.
On her second day out in the woods, Michaela heard a helicopter and scrambled to get to a clearing.
And I was running through like the thickest brush. I was getting attacked by spruce and devil's club, to the point where, like, my hand was all swollen and prickled with devil's club needles and stuff. So I made it to the clearing, but I'm, like, waving down the helicopters, and they passed right by me. Didn't even see me. A couple minutes later, they passed right by me again. Still didn't see me. I was so mad. I'm just like, no! Why helicopters?
Her dark brown jacket didn't help. It was like camouflage. Michaela also happened to have been wearing a Harry Potter t-shirt. She likes books, and as she pressed on through the forest, she drew some inspiration from some of the young characters she's read about.
Well, I was thinking about, like, different things throughout the time. Like, there's this one Stephen King book where this girl, a little younger than me, got lost in the woods. And then there's The Hunger Games. Was thinking about that. Because I'm a book reader, and I was hoping maybe this could save my life. And you know what? It pays off to be a nerd.
Close to noon on Tuesday, when she was trying to sleep under a tree to block the wind, she heard a voice calling her name. It was her neighbor, Leslie Fahey, who was in one of the search parties with Michaela's dad, Jim. They were about 5 miles from town, and he says Fahey heard Michaela calling out.
Leslie took off through the brush, and I had a radio in my hand, and I got on there and I said, this is Team 44, and we got a female response for help, and I'm pretty sure it's her. And I handed the radio off, and I went barreling through the brush. And I was, like, hollering, where are you guys at? Where are you at? Where are you at? And I finally worked my way over there, and I come crawling up over the edge, and I saw Michaela there, wet and cold and smiling, you know, and I was like, oh, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And then I just ran over to her and gave her a big hug and just started crying and just happy. Life is great.
Back in Port Protection, Metcalf and other family members were just getting ready to head out with another search party when they heard the news.
We're so happy. It just, I kept going, the happy word doesn't sound happy enough, but it's, that's it. We were just so happy.
Michaela and her father were flown to the hospital in Kluwak, where she was treated for dehydration. Considering her ordeal, she was in relatively good shape.
I didn't feel dehydrated, though, but they had me on, I went through 4 IV bags, a big, large thing of Sprite, two or three Gatorade bottles, the small ones, and 2 of those Capri Suns. Hardly peed at all.
How did it feel to get warm again?
It was great.
Throughout the search, well-wishers from around the world sent Michaela's family encouraging notes through social media. Terry Metcalf and Jim McRoberts struggled to find the right words to express their gratitude to the many people who helped search for the teen.
Thank you isn't enough. Yeah, I so, everyone, I thank you. That's not enough.
I just kind of wish that I was here when everybody was leaving to thank them personally and give them a hug and shake their hands and tell them how much I appreciate what they did.
Now back at home in Port Protection, Michaela says if she ever goes hiking again, she thinks she'll maybe bring a lighter, a raincoat, and a friend. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.